You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. During this week's nonpartisan elections, Wisconsin voters approved roughly $770 million in additional school funding or borrowing authority that districts put on the ballot as part of the referendum process. The amount approved fell short of the nearly $1.2 billion in total requested for various projects by K-12 districts around the state. Dan Rossmiller is the Government Relations Director for the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. Dan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, big picture, I know there are different stories. Each of these requests is unique. But big picture, what's your takeaway from most of these being approved around the state?
Well, I think on the side of revenue limit referendums, very positive. On the side of construction referendums, referendums where districts go to the voters and ask to issue debt for either new construction or remodeling, it was a little bit more mixed, but still positive.
Let's break each of those down now. You mentioned the revenue limit referenda. It's part of the state's complicated laws on school funding and property taxes. Can you tell us what that kind of referendum does?
Yeah, since 1993, the state has imposed revenue limits on school districts that cap the amount of money that school districts can collect from a combination of state general aid and local property taxes. The idea of it was to limit the amount of property tax increases that districts could vote unless they had a referendum approval from their electors. So what we have seen in the past few years is that the legislature has not adjusted revenue limits for inflation since the 2014-15 school year. And as a consequence, a number of districts around the state are finding that they are faced with a difficult time maintaining their programs. They are capped. They can't raise money locally without going to the voters for approval. And all of the money that they've had since 2014-15 for additional programming has come directly from the state. So this is their chance to go to their voters and say, we have some needs. We would like to meet those needs. Will you help us?
As someone who works with school boards around the state, is the local referendum the solution that most schools want, or would they prefer to see more aid coming from the state?
Well, I think in general, we'd always prefer more money from the state. It's a difficult decision locally for locally elected school boards to have to go to their voters and say we need more property tax money. The property tax is generally perceived to be one of the least fair taxes, and it comes due in big lump sums. It's not like income taxes that are withheld from your paycheck or sales taxes that you pay with each purchase. It requires people to come up with a big chunk of money at certain times of the year.
Talking to Dan Rossmiller with the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, looking at the results from referendum votes, school funding referendum votes around the state. Dan, you mentioned those construction referendums. Usually they allow the school to borrow money, which then obviously gets paid back over time. You said those weren't as successful as the other kind of referenda. What kind of things did you see around the state?
Well, there were 16 of 26 passed, so about 61.5% of those passed, more passed than didn't. It's kind of hard to say because those are all local decisions. In general, we saw some districts approve large amounts of spending. Sun Prairie, for example, approved $164 million to build a new high school. In other places, we saw large requests turned down. We saw some small requests turned down and many small requests approved. So I think it's really a matter of whether the school district and supporters of the proposals are effective in making their case that this is something that the community needs. I can say that what we're seeing are referendums really of two different types when it comes to borrowing. We're seeing in a lot of growing districts, largely suburban districts around growing urban areas, we're finding more and more students as people move into those suburbs, and the schools are at capacity. Sun Prairie is a good example. They just built a high school a number of years ago, and they have so many pupils in their community, they're going to the voters to ask for approval to build another high school. So we're seeing in growing communities a need to expand facilities there. In older communities, we're seeing a need to remodel or refurbish school buildings. I'm a baby boomer. When I was a kid, I went to a brand new school building. That school building is now fairly old. More than 50 years old. And over time, you begin to have some maintenance needs and some other needs that need to be addressed. And under the revenue limits, it can be difficult for a school district to both maintain all of its programs and address some of its facility needs because its revenues are limited.
We've seen in the last couple of decades talk of some schools looking at consolidation with other districts. Are you seeing any schools at a crisis point, any districts at a crisis point right now where they're really in trouble funding-wise?
Well, there were several who had referendums of a different sort from borrowing, and these are referendums to exceed the revenue limits for operating expenses. So, there were two kinds of referendums, one for capital expenses and the other for operating expenses. The districts that expressed concern about their viability in the future were those that went to referendum for operating expenses to exceed the revenue limits. A couple of those districts that I know were very concerned, River Valley, for example, and Goodman Armstrong up north, their referendums were successful. There was one in Palmyra Eagle that was not successful, and that district is really going to have to go to the drawing boards. One of the reasons for that is that the legislature in the last state budget put some limits on when school districts can go to a referendum. So we are essentially done this year with all school referendums. The next opportunity that schools will have to go and ask voters for additional money is going to be in February of 2020. And although they may get approval, that's too late for property tax bills that will go out in December of this year to reflect that increase. So they will literally have to wait until the following December of 2020, before they could begin to collect any additional revenues, even if they pass those referendums. So those districts that were banking on passing a referendum could find themselves in difficult straits.
In our last minute or so, Dan, we're entering into budget season here in Wisconsin. Do you, at the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, have priorities that you hope get tackled this budget round?
Well, we're very encouraged by the budget that the governor put forward. It's a very positive budget for schools and for K-12 education. The legislature has a slightly different take. They believe it's probably a little bit too generous. And so we're a long ways from the finish line on that, but we're hopeful that the legislature will allow school districts an adjustment to the revenue limits or per pupil categorical aid, which is the other way that they've been allowing districts to increase the revenues they have available. And we're hopeful that they will certainly raise special education funding to reimburse school districts for the growing amount of money that they're having to spend on special education that is essentially under revenue limits, forcing them to take money away from their regular education programs for students that don't have disabilities in order to fund the mandated services for students that do have disabilities.
We'll leave it there for now. Dan, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate the opportunity.
That's Dan Rossmiller, Government Relations Director for the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. He joined us today to talk about the recent school referenda request that passed this week and why more school districts are leaning on referenda to fund projects. Coming up, we'll look at the latest effort to crack down on unwanted robocalls, texts, and emails, and what we can do to limit the number we receive. If you've been getting a lot of these, we'd love to hear from you. We won't pretend you're a robocall. You can email ideas@WPR.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.